Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, your host, coming to you from New Zealand. I have Carla Butard as a guest on the show today. And don't forget our website, visit it. It's aminutetomidnight.com. I'm very glad to be able to welcome Carla Butard back onto the Minute to Midnight show. Carla's been a guest, four or five times over the last 3 years. And it's been a while, though, so it's nice to have you back, Carla.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be with the people in New Zealand and whoever else hears this across the world.
Yes, and they do. They come from all over the place. I think the largest number are in America, but there's people I get messages and things from all over the place. So certainly is a wide-ranging demographic. So what are you going to be sharing with us today?
I'm going to be sharing how important it is to know who you are in Christ, because what I have found through emails from people and different scenarios that they're dealing with is that there really is a lack of real understanding who we are in Christ. And I know we've probably heard hundreds of sermons, you know, on who we are in Christ, but this is just kind of an overview from the Word of God to help us know exactly who we are and our position. Because if we don't, we will never be effective in the kingdom or for the kingdom.
Sounds very good to me. So I'm going to be all ears to listen to what you've got for us in this teaching.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So before we are saved, we are dead spiritually. And we actually serve our own selves. And without realizing it, we're really serving Satan. If we're not serving God, we're serving ourselves and Satan. After we're saved, we are still flesh, but we're born again. And, you know, there's a lot of belief systems out there. And one of those is that once you're saved, you cannot have demonic problems, you know, or that demons can't cause you problems, or that demons are not even really in your body, because what I hear the most is the Holy Ghost will not cohabitate with demons. And that's very true. But when we get saved, it is our spirit that is changed and where Jesus lives and where demons cannot enter.
Yes, it sounds good. So, tell us some more.
Okay. And so, I like to start with Romans chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made." That word is important. We didn't become, we were made sinners. Every person born after Adam and Eve is born in sin. Before we ever sin, we're sinners, because we were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There again, we are made righteous through Jesus Christ. So before we are born again, we are sinners. After we are born again, we are made righteous by the presence of Jesus Christ in us. So there's nothing we can do to make ourselves righteous or become. We can't work our way to be righteous. Without Jesus, there is no righteousness. That's the breastplate of righteousness that we receive when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is that breastplate of righteousness. I used to have a problem with that scripture in the Old Testament that says, "For your righteousness is as filthy rags." And I would think, gosh, you know, when I was growing up, I really strived at being a good girl. But before I was saved, even after I was saved, to hear that scripture bothered me, because God would look at us as filthy rags. But I understand it now. If you try to have righteousness apart from Jesus Christ, all God sees is filthy rags, because we're unredeemed in that condition. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For God for he hath made him, but that's God, for God hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So after we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become vessels of the living God. Now that's, you know, that's kind of hard to comprehend. In John 1:11, it says of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, and, you know, I stop and say, have you received him? Yes, I have. To them, those who have received him, gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. And down in verse 16, it says, and of his, meaning Jesus, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. So see, sometimes we don't see ourselves as who we really are. And if we are going to be Christians, then we have to get to the place where we believe the Word of God. If the Word says that I have the mind of Christ, then I have the mind of Christ, if Jesus Christ is in me. If he says that I am holy, and the only reason I'm holy is because he lives in me. So we have to come to the place where we agree with the Word of God. I don't know how many Christians I hear, you know, they'll have a forgetful moment or confusion or something, and they think, oh my gosh, I hope I'm not getting Alzheimer's. And I'll say, how can you say that? Aren't you a Christian? Yes. Then you have the mind of Christ. In your spirit, man, you have the mind of Christ. And so when this is the way I see it, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, my family tree was simplified to God the Father, because now I am his daughter. Through Jesus Christ, I am the daughter of God. And so I now can have the inheritance from God and from Jesus, even though I still have an inheritance from my parents and my ancestors. With Jesus Christ in me, I have the accessibility for my inherited things to be connected to God instead of to my ancestors. Now, in another teaching, I would call that generationally inherited curses, which we all have. And another misunderstanding is that when we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, all that is dealt with. And theoretically, it is all dealt with. But we have to appropriate now what God, through Jesus, has done for us in order to have those things broken off of us. You know, there's a man that I know, and he challenges me all the time with things that I teach. And he said, there's no such thing as generationally inherited curses. And so I went away from there asking God, which is what I usually do. I go to God for my answers. If someone asks me something that I don't have the answer to, I will go and question God about it. So when this man said, there's no such thing as generational curses, I went to God and said, you know, Lord, what can you say to a person who believes that? And he said, and you know, I'm always surprised when God answers me. Sometimes it's right away, sometimes it's not, but I still ask the question. So God answered me this way. If there was no such thing as a generational curse, there would be no need for anyone to be saved, because the curse came in with Adam, and that curse is still in effect today. And I thought, wow, that is really a simple way to put that. We all need to be redeemed, first of all, from that curse that came through Adam that separated us from God. And also in the Ten Commandments, it tells us that the sins of the fathers will be visited upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, we all think we get off scot-free because none of us, well, hopefully none of us, have hated God in the way we understand the word hate. But if you look that up, it has to do with loyalty. So the sins of the fathers are revisited upon the third and fourth generation of those who have not been loyal to me. And let's face it, before we were saved, we were all disloyal to God because we were serving our own selves. And we were in the world and serving Satan, basically. So that is it was accomplished at the cross, just as salvation was. It says that he shed his blood for the sins of the whole world, but the whole world is not saved because it takes something on our part. We have to receive him. So it's not across the board. So, but because we are in this position of being saved now, we have access to the ministry that Jesus Christ has given to us to what? We can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead, preach the gospel of the kingdom. But we have to appropriate that. Okay, so we are now vessels of the living God. In 1 Corinthians, we are referred to, I think it's chapter 6, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost and not your own? So in the Old Testament, the tabernacle or the temple had three sections, an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant sat, and where the presence of God resided. Now, our bodies are compared to the temple, and we are also three parts. Our outer court is our flesh. Our inner court is our soul, what they say is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And then our inner court is the Holy of Holies, which is our spirit inside of us. So really, our bodies are just a vehicle, per se, to navigate on the earth with. We are carrying around our spirit, and that's where Jesus comes to reside. Okay, it says, after we receive him, we are seated with Christ. We're seated with Christ. So where is Jesus sitting right now? He is in 1 Peter 3:22, it says of Jesus, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. See, there's many times that that I will be praying for somebody and I will assign angels and they get real nervous, you know. Oh, well, we're only God can commission the angels. And I said, well, you know, I know right away, and this is why this teaching is so important to me for people to hear, is so that we really understand our position now. It says of Jesus that he's seated, that he has gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So if we are seated with Christ, now it tells us that in Ephesians 2 at verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that means before you were saved, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So positionally, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, He causes us to be seated with Him in heavenly places. So when people get nervous whenever I assign angels, or if I rebuke the devil, you know, they get really nervous. I said, but if we are seated with Christ on the right hand of God in a spiritual sense, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him, then they're also subject unto us. So it says also, know ye not that we shall judge angels? That's 1 Corinthians 6:13. We shall judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? Another scripture people usually say to me is Jude, verse 9. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So people will say, you can't rebuke the devil. You need to say, the Lord rebuke you. And then they use this scripture with Michael the archangel. But we, because we are human beings, we are above the angels. So, yes, we can rebuke the enemy. I usually say to people, in Luke 10:19, Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So if He has given that to us, why would we not use it? And then they'll challenge me and say, yeah, but He was talking to the disciples there. But we are disciples of Christ. In John, so I think it's John 14:12 or 12:14. It's one or the other of those. But he is speaking to the believers there. If you believe on my name, the works that I do shall you do also. So, you know, there have been so many teachings that I feel have confused people as to their position in Christ. And, you know, God's made this so clear to me, so I don't have any problem, you know, rebuking the enemy or assigning angels to go. It says in Hebrews 1:14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister, which means serve, for them, not to them, but for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, I guess it would depend on what translation of the Bible that you look in, but this is King James, and it says that the angels were sent forth to minister for. So they are for us. They are for us to use to help. And I'll just give you an example. One time we had an emergency at our house concerning one of our kids, and Mike had gone, my husband, to help a friend chop down a tree or cut down. I don't know if people chop trees down anymore, but he used his chainsaw and he was going to go cut this tree down. But I had failed to ask him, and this is way before cell phones, I had failed to ask him, where exactly are you going? Who is this person's house that you're going to? And he left, and then we had the emergency. And I realized at that time, I don't even know where he was going. And I said, Father, I assign angels right now to go and have Mike call home. I mean, that was just out of desperation. And about 5 minutes later, the phone rang and it was Mike. And I said, what made you call? He said, well, I was driving down the highway and there was a little store there and something just told me to stop and call. See, now that... We may not understand how the angels work, but I guarantee you that's what happened.
Yeah.
Another time, my daughter likes to ride horses, and she would be going off for a long ride, and it would start getting dark, and I didn't know which way she went or where she went. I mean, she had boundaries, but they were pretty big because we had 28 acres. And so I sent an angel to go and tap her and remind her that it's time to come home. And in a minute, she's coming up the driveway. So, you know, God wants us to utilize the things that he has given us. They were given to us, his people. And so, and that, by the way, was John 14:12, because I just see it in my notes. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Okay, in 1 John 3:8, it says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So I look at my own self. If Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil, and he's not here anymore, but he is here, he physically was resurrected and went to heaven, so that every person who would believe on him, he actually sent himself to live in us. When that became a reality to me, it was an encounter where I was healed of a severe depression. And in this encounter, I just felt, experienced his love so strongly that my response, because one of the things that he told me was, because I had a lot of self-hatred, I didn't even want to live anymore. So he's telling me, look, I got on that cross for you. I love you. I made you. All these things that you don't like about yourself, I'm going to perfect those things in you for my purposes, which he did. And the other thing was, I said, Lord, because you gave your life for me, then you had to go, then you are now with God in heaven. So your hands are not here to heal. Your mouth is not here to speak. Your feet are not here to go. So I give you my life. You gave yours for me. Now I'm giving you mine. Live in me. Continue to do what you wanted to do on earth through me. And that gave me a whole new understanding of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that says to present your body a living sacrifice. I used to think, how can I give my body as a living sacrifice? Well, that's how you do it. You lay down your life. I mean, but God is gracious enough that I still get to be a wife. I still get to be a mother. I still get to be a grandmother. All of these things, it's multidimensional. So it also made me wonder how I can live in the Spirit. You know, the scripture that says to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, Lord, how do I walk in the Spirit? I don't even know what that looks like. So I'm going to give you a testimony in just a minute. But in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is a diplomatic minister of the highest rank sent on a special mission, accredited as permanent representative to another country or sovereign. See, we are representatives now of God on the earth. We are his ambassadors for Christ to another country or sovereign with treaty signing powers. Now that's a strong statement, having treaty signing powers. That means we can do business for Jesus. Just like if we were ambassadors to another country, we could do business on behalf of the United States, having those kind of powers, which is, I think, absolutely wonderful. In Christ's stead means the place, position, or function customarily occupied by another. So see, we are ambassadors for Christ here on the earth. Jesus was here. He was God sent. He did what the Father said and did. Remember when he said, I only do what my Father does and what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Well, you know, sometimes we may not be able to hear God the way Jesus heard God, to say and do what God is telling Jesus to do. But we do have Jesus as the example. We can see in the Word what Jesus said, what he did. And if he only did what the Father did, then we can be pretty confident that if we do what Jesus did, we're also doing what the Father approved of. So he was the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, filled with the power of God, and equal with God. In Philippians 2, 5 through 7, let this mind be in you. That's what we're being told. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant. And if we do what Jesus did, that's exactly what we will do. Make ourselves of no reputation. It's not us, it's him. It's him in us. But he needs us. That's why we present our bodies, so that he can work through us. Okay, Romans 8:29 says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That means God wants us to look like Jesus, he wants us to talk like Jesus, and he wants us to do like Jesus. So many times people are hung up on, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my destiny is. And I said, well, let me help you out with that. Because Romans 8:29 says that Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren, and we are to be conformed to the image of his son. That should be all of our purposes. Our goal would be to become like Jesus. The testimony I wanted to give you is when I was questioning God about walking in the Spirit. And he showed me, you know, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So one morning when I was thinking on these things and I was having my prayer time, and I had an open vision. It was kind of startling because I was sitting there thinking, and then all of a sudden I start seeing myself walking across my living room floor. Now, catty corner from my prayer chair is a wood-burning stove. That was gone in the vision. There were three young men standing in the corner. And as I was walking across diagonally my living room, I got close to where those three guys were standing. And they were just talking and visiting. But when they saw, one of them saw me and stopped, and they all saw me, and they're all pulling into the corner of that room so tightly, like they were scared. In my head, I could hear me thinking while I was watching this vision. I heard the thoughts in my head. I looked at those young men acting like that, and I thought, what's your problem? And I walked right on by and disappeared into the hallway. And then those three guys came out of the corner. They were high-fiving each other. They were celebrating the fact and saying, she doesn't know. She doesn't know. They were like shocked. And then the whole vision went away. And I'm left with this, and I'm thinking about what I just saw. And I said, Lord, what does she who was me not know? He said, when you approached the area that they were in and they saw you, they didn't even see you. They didn't see Carla. They didn't see the flesh body of Carla. They saw me. They saw my son, Jesus Christ, and they saw the Holy Ghost, and they were horrified. He said, that is what my people don't know. Mm. It was a life changer for me. You know, it takes the self-consciousness, I guess, away from you, the person. No, I am a vessel of God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. In John 17, Jesus prayed the prayer. He said, Father, that, let me just look that up because I don't want to misquote it. John 17. Okay. Jesus said in verse 18, As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. See, you and I are in this prayer because we have believed on Jesus through the word, the testimonies of the people that whose words are written in the Bible. So that's you and me, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. See, Jesus is saying to God, you are in me, and I in thee. Jesus is acknowledging that he is in God, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, so Jesus, when he was baptized, remember the heavens opened up, the Holy Ghost descended and stayed on Jesus. So he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now he is saying that he is in God and God is in him. So we have the whole Trinity, the whole person of God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost in Jesus. And now he is asking the Father to do the same thing with us. And then it says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So right there, we see that this vessel that we are, who we obtain, and you know, the demons can see that. The demons see God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. They don't even see me. When I am like praying for somebody, if I am praying deliverance for them, if I am laying my hands on them to heal them, those spirits don't even see Carla. That was a great relief for me because it puts a lot of pressure on you, if you're the one.
Yeah.
But we're not. It's him. And also in Mark, I love this too. Mark 16, this took away some self-consciousness also. At the end of Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, here again, he's not just talking to the disciples, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow those who believe. You know, God just showed me something the other day about that. These signs shall follow them that believe. We have a time in the church world where people are following signs. Jesus is telling us that the signs should follow us.
Mm.
He doesn't want us following signs. Yeah. He wants the signs to follow us. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And this is the part. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went, the believers, but we're talking about his disciples right here. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. See, so he, when we are obedient to the call that he has called us to, he's working with us. It's not us. He just needs somebody willing to go, willing to obey, willing to speak, willing to do. And when we obey him, he is with us, working with, it says, the word and signs following. He will work with his word with signs following. And so when we realize this, it will give us a really different identity. I'm not just a woman that got saved. I am, and anyone who is saved becomes a vessel of the living God. And when we, and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, and when we walk out these days, in these last days, you will find the same thing happening with you that happened with Jesus. When Jesus showed up anywhere in a crowd, the demons cried out. Did they not?
Yep.
If we are vessels of the living God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost, there will be times that demons will cry out just because of who we carry. And then, of course, he taught us when he was here on earth what to do when those demons show up, when they manifest. And, you know, in 2011, I've probably said this on one of the other programs, but in 2011, God said that the warfare between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness is intensifying, and you're going to start seeing things you've never seen before, and you're going to start hearing things you've never heard before. And I'm finding that that is true. So we need to realize who we are and know what the word says so that we can do what Jesus did when these things occur. I heard about a big church, and this man just jumped up and started taking all of his clothes off in the middle of the service. Now, that's a demon, and they called the police. See, the church, the church needs to know what to do when these demonic things happen in the church. But sadly, that's not talked about a whole lot in church. And so what do? We call the police. Yeah. But, you know, it's time for the church really to understand who they are. And when those kind of things happen, to be able to put into use the power that he has given us to do what needs to be done.
You know, I think one of the like commanding angels and so on, it will be controversial. I mean, I know that people, I'll get all kinds of comments both directions on this show, and you know, and so it's kind of like, you know, people, well, people could go to an extreme and start basically, you know, even, right, I'll tell the angel to do this, that, and the other thing, and people get caught up with the whole angels and out of focus there. But as I'm listening, I'm thinking, you know, it's so easy for us to go out of balance in both directions, that people either throw everything out and, you know, there's no spiritual gifts and there's no nothing anymore, and then you get people on the other end that are so airy-fairy with it that they're off. So I guess we've got to search the scriptures and pray for guidance and so on, that God shows us what's truth and what isn't. There's so much, you know, food for thought in what you're sharing here, that I guess we all need to go away and actually study it. Based, you know, listen. Mm-hmm. I'll probably listen to this a few times and try and get my head around it. It's really interesting, and the thing is that you're able to illustrate it with some examples from your own life, which of course always helps to cement things, I guess.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's there's so much, like I say, I guess different avenues that people come from. I see it all the time, and trying to get the balance of what does the scripture actually say, and you know, and it's very important for us to to actually search them out for ourselves and try and learn, what does the Bible actually teach on a lot of these things? And I say, for so many of us, I think we can go from that one extreme to the other. People that have been burnt by too much in the Pentecostal circles, I've seen them throw the whole thing away and which is out of balance too. So,
yes. Well, you know, the scripture in 1 Timothy 4 that talks about in the last times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And I really began to, you know, search that out. What exactly is a doctrine of a devil? And the Lord has started showing me how, like you're talking about being out of balance, and that is one thing. It's one way that Satan works, that he takes what it is God's word and he perverts it, even to the point that we will shy away from it, a promise that belongs to us as God's children, but then he'll take it and pervert it. And that can happen in any area. I mean, I could name off, you know, God talks about prosperity. You know, he tells us that, you know, that we will prosper. But then Satan has taken that promise and made a doctrine of a devil out of it. And then there's the message of grace. You know, grace is a wonderful thing, but Satan has taken it and perverted it almost to the point that you don't need to repent anymore. That is true. We need to search it out. We need to study it out. Even the word says in Hebrews 4:12 that the word of God, one of those things that of the word of God is, it says, and is a discerner. The word is a discerner, and we need to be so full of the word of God that the truth is in us, so that when one of those perverted words come, we can spot it as being a doctrine of a devil.
That's a very good point. Yes, totally. Yeah, I like that.
As I have taught this before, I do a prayer at the end to
come against. And that'll be a great way, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just come against some spirits that are holding us back.
Sounds good.
Okay. Okay. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against all the family line curses, the generationally inherited curses that, like there's an antichrist spirit that will keep us from being able to receive things from God. I come against all those spirits of unworthiness, of feeling unworthy. He has made us worthy. Of ourselves, we have none. But I come against that feeling, I'm just not worthy. I'm not worthy enough to do these things. I bind that and break its power and command it to get people. I bind all spirits of fear, fear of stepping out, fear of the devil, fear of taking authority when we need to take authority. All spirits of intimidation and timidity, I command you to get out of God's people now in Jesus' name. Spirits of inadequacy or doubt and unbelief, those are faith killers. I come against all the doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. All spirits of deception, the lying spirit, I bind the lying spirit in Jesus' name. Spirits of error, I break your power and command you to go. I break every oath and covenant, blood covenants, dedications that were done on our behalf when we were in the loins of our forefathers. Like sometimes a great-great-grandparent can dedicate all of his seed to Satan. I break those things right now off of everyone in Jesus' name. I come against critical spirits and judgmental spirits. I bind all spirits of weakness and the spirit of offense, being easily offended in Jesus' name. I come against all mind-binding spirits and mind-blinding spirits in the name of Jesus. I come against all deaf and dumb spirits. I speak to spiritual deafness to go, spiritual dumbness to go, spiritual blindness, you go, spiritual incapacitation and paralysis, you go in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. I come against all false humility, which is the flip side of pride. It's still pride. False humility is pride. I come against and break all pride and false humility off God's people. And I come against spirits of laziness and slothfulness. I'll let somebody else do all that stuff. I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. And I bind the spirit of respecter of persons, like only preachers can do that, or only a deliverance minister can do that. No, Jesus has called us all to do these things. And so I bind that respecter of persons in Jesus' name. Inferiority, all the grasshopper spirits, that spirit that Mephibosheth had, he was the grandson of the king, and he had allowed his servants to take over his inheritance. God forbid that we should let Satan take over our inheritance in Jesus' name. Now I loose upon the listeners, I loose power and might. I loose holy boldness to do these things. I loose upon them courage and bravery. Do you know that when Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That word cheer doesn't mean happy like we think cheer means. No, it means courageous boldness. That's what it means in the Greek, courageous boldness. So I loose courageous boldness upon God's people. I loose revelation knowledge, Lord, that you would begin to reveal the things that we need to know. I loose strength and faith. I loose the spirit of truth in the name of Jesus. I loose the spirit of God and the teachable spirit. Lord, let us remain teachable. I ask you to loose the Holy Ghost power upon everyone and receive, that they might receive the Holy Ghost power. I pray for them to have ears to hear. I loose upon them faithfulness. I stir up the faithfulness of God. I loose upon them a hunger and thirst for your word. And Father, that we might strip the grave clothes off of each other so that we can live the life that you purposed us to live freely. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I bind all spirits of backlash and retaliation as well, because the enemy hates messages like this. So I bind all spirits of backlash and retaliation, even off of the listeners, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, amen. Now, I mean, if listeners have any proper serious questions, that's fine, but it's got to be done in the right spirit, because we all want to learn. We all want to know the truth, I think.
Well, sure.
Not everyone does, but anyone with a genuine heart does.
Exactly. Well, I'll be happy to give my email address if anybody,
yes, you know. That's probably a good thing to do now if you want to give people your email and where people can find you on the internet.
Okay. Okay, my email is my name, Carla, C-A-R-L-A, Butaud, B-U-T-A-U-D, @gmail.com. And I have a website. It's not a real sophisticated website, but it's enough information there for you. It's carlabutaud.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Carla. It's been awesome to have you on the show again, and I think we'll be having you on again soon with a second teaching that I know you would like to share. So hopefully that won't be too far away as well. So thank you heaps for being on the Minute to Midnight show again today.
Thank you for having me, Tony. It's a privilege.
Folks, don't forget to hit the like button if you're watching this on YouTube, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already done so. And of course, you can find our videos on our website, aminutetomidnight.com as well. And we put the shows out as audio-only versions as well on iTunes and also on our website, aminutetomidnight.com. And we do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations, and if you want to help us, you can do that at our website as well. And we do appreciate very much and thank very much those people that help to keep this running, because we couldn't do it without your help. And all the music is written, played, and recorded by me. And if you want to download any free music, you can do that on our website too. All the A Minute to Midnight music's available there, free of charge to download. We also have an A Minute to Midnight community forum, which you're welcome to join as well and contribute to the conversations there. I think that's about it for this show. We will catch you with another one in a few days' time. God bless and have a great week.